Good morning, Focus Church. I don't know about you this morning, but I'm excited to know that God is our healer, that He has everything we need. And I'm going to do my best this morning with all of the excitement that is within me to stick to what I have written here as my notes. But I just want to let you know, man, God has everything that we need. He is our healer. He is our peace. He is our hope. I don't know everybody that is watching with us online, but I do have a few friends here with me this morning. We've stayed to 9 people, but if the people in the room, could you just shout a little bit and say hello to everybody that's online? God is so good. Man, guys, I'm gonna have to stick to my notes really hard. God is awesome. God is awesome. And God is awesome. I hope this morning, if you came looking for hope, if you came looking for peace, if you came looking for purpose, I want to let you know that today you will have an opportunity to receive hope in Jesus, because Jesus is not fake news. We've been going through a series. This is the 3rd week. We started on Easter saying Jesus is not fake news. He is hope for every situation in your life. Last week, we heard a message from Pastor Ryan, and Pastor Ryan spoke that Jesus is not fake news. He does have provision for you. And we heard an amazing story of how Jesus took 5 loaves and 2 fish and broke it and fed 5,000 people and even had enough. I don't know if you remember it. If you haven't watched, go ahead and watch again. But I was inspired by the story of Pastor Hope, and she was talking about having a few potatoes left in a bag, and day after day, she went back to that bag and kept on pulling out more and more potatoes to provide for her family when they were in a financial situation. And so I don't know what situation you're in today, but I believe that if you came looking for hope, today is the day that you will receive hope. And so stay tuned towards the end of the message. You'll have an opportunity to respond to the message of hope in Jesus. Today, we're going to be looking at a story found in Mark chapter 10, verse 46 through 52. This is a story of amazing healing that God did as he was walking through town. So let's look here. Mark chapter 10, verse 46 through 52 this morning. It says this. Then they reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me!" "Be quiet," many of the people yelled at him, but he only shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, "Tell him to come here." So they called the blind man. "Cheer up," they said. "Come on, he's calling you." Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. "My rabbi," the blind man said, "I want to see." And Jesus said to him, "Go, for your faith has healed you." Instantly, the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. Let's take a moment to pray this morning. God, you are so good. And Jesus, I pray that this morning our faith would be increased to believe that you have all the healing that we need. Jesus, I thank you for your words this morning. May it encourage us, may it challenge us to be more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. And Bartimaeus, he had heard that Jesus was coming. I don't know if you have read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, found in the Bible, but every time I read those through the Gospels, I am just inspired about who Jesus was. I mean, everywhere that he went, people were getting healed. You could not be in the same place that Jesus was without being impacted by who he was. And so I believe blind Bartimaeus meant he was waiting for this opportunity. He had heard the stories of this man named Jesus who was out doing crazy, ridiculous, amazing things. And his opportunity came. Jesus was walking by and he cried out. I don't know if you have experienced this, the parents at Focus Church, but I've experienced a few times Denver over the last few weeks crying out, "Dad!" Why does he do that? He needs help. He has something he needs. And it's a really good thing that Denver cries out to me, or that Bartimaeus, he cried out to Jesus. Why? Because he knew that Jesus had a reputation of meeting people's needs. And this morning, if you're a parent, I just want to encourage you, if your child cries out in the middle of the day or even at the middle of the night, "Mom, Dad," it's because you have a reputation of meeting your needs. You're doing a great job. Remember that next time, maybe it's a little annoying, they call out Mom or Dad. But there was nowhere else for blind Bartimaeus to go. And he didn't want to miss his opportunity. He knew that Jesus had a reputation of one that sets people free. He knew that Jesus had a reputation of being one who heals the blind and the lame and the sick. And he saw him coming and said, "I'm not going to miss this opportunity." I want to share with you a story from Pastor Ryan who, when he was in a similar situation, and he called out to Jesus, and Jesus answered him. Take a look at this.
Hi there. My name is Ryan, and I want to tell you a quick story about how Jesus healed me. You see, a while ago, I was in the military. I went to the United States Air Force Academy. Here's a picture of me there at the academy. And while I was in basic training, I remember distinctly it was July 4th. There was a time in our training that we were doing intramural sports, and I was playing soccer, and I was loving playing soccer, and I was running up in the middle on the goal, and one of my teammates was on the left wing, and he crosses the ball over, and I just, like, my eyes are as big as teacups, just ready, because here's the ball, there's the goal, I'm going in, I'm knocking it into the goal. And when I stepped to slide to hit it, my foot planted into the ground, yet my body still went forward. And I experienced some extreme pain in my ankle. And they actually brought me by ambulance to the hospital, and they checked me out and did x-rays, and they gave me the bad news. And the bad news was this: that your ankle is so damaged that we're going to have to send you home, that you will not be able to complete basic training. And I was devastated. I wanted to be there. I wanted to be a part of basic training. And so what they decided to do, they said, "We're going to figure out tomorrow how we're going to send you home, but we're going to go ahead and give you some crutches or not right now. We're going to wrap up your ankle. You need to stay off of it, and you can go ahead and join your classmates," because that evening we had a chapel service, and then there was going to be fireworks, and we're going to be able to see the fireworks afterwards, and they didn't want me to miss that. So I went to the chapel service. I remember sitting there with my crutches next to me in the chapel service, and just sitting there, just rolling over all the events of the day in my mind and thinking, "I don't want to go home. I am hurting, and I don't want this to be." And so I cried out to Jesus. I said, "Jesus, will you heal my ankle?" And in that moment that I prayed that prayer, I felt something change in my ankle to where it felt different. I can't even quite explain it, but I knew in that moment it had changed, that Jesus had healed me and he had strengthened my ankle. And so that night I put the crutches away and began walking on my foot as if nothing had ever happened. And they checked me out the next day at the hospital. I walked in holding my crutches in my hand, and they're like, "How are you doing this? This is impossible." I said, "Hey, I prayed last night in chapel and Jesus healed me, and here I'm go." And they checked me out and they said, "Well, you can finish basic training. You're good to go." And that's how I know that Jesus is real, because he's, and that he heals, because he has healed me.
Yeah, what an amazing story. I love hearing stories like this from Pastor Ryan, or reading the story about blind Bartimaeus. There was nowhere else for them to turn. Nobody else has the answer. Pastor Ryan describes, you know, He didn't want to leave basic training. He had a mission. He was there for a purpose. He didn't want to, and he knew the one person that he could call out. And I just want to encourage you this morning. If you are needing hope, maybe you received a terrible diagnosis from the doctor. Maybe there has been a terrible word spoken over your life and your life expectancy. I just want to encourage you, when there is nowhere else to turn, where there's no one else has the answer, cry out to Jesus. I believe that not only is God able to heal, but he is willing to heal. See, the scriptures reveal that God is able to do exceedingly above and beyond anything that we could hope or imagine. I always tell our church in West Madison, I tell them, man, I was a Barney kid. I was raised on Barney, and I grew up imagining things. I'm like, I could pride myself in being able to tell a really good story. And this scripture always just speaks to me. Man, God can do exceedingly above anything we could hope or imagine. I mean, I'm here to tell you this morning, there's nothing that is impossible for God. Whether it's a torn ankle or a blind eye, God has the ability to heal you. See, God demonstrated this ability through his son Jesus. Why do we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that repeats all of these amazing stories of healing, all of these amazing miracles that Jesus performed? Why? It's to show us Jesus is able. But, you know, that's just one part of the picture. Jesus is able. I've known a lot of people that are able to do great things, but many of them aren't willing. See, the beautiful thing about Jesus is that he is also willing to do what he is able to do. John chapter 14, verse 14, Jesus says, "Yes, ask me anything in my name and I will do it." I hope that this morning you are convinced not only is God able to do it, not only is God able to heal, but he is willing. He wants to bring healing to your physical body. See, he set up a kingdom that is totally different than any other kingdom. Jesus came and established a kingdom where he had everything. He had all power. He had all position. He owns everything. He created everything. And when he came and established his kingdom, he didn't establish it like a normal king would go and take. And in order to receive or in order to gain status, they have to take and they have to conquer. No, Jesus had everything. And what Jesus does is he offers himself to us. If you're in need of healing in this moment, Jesus is offering his healing to you. There's an amazing story, I can't wait to share it with you guys here, of Calanthea and how she needed God's healing and God came through. Let's take a listen.
So when I was a child, I used to have severe reactions to dust as well as any drops in temperature. And so what that meant was every single morning when I woke up, I used to sneeze at least 50 times and people could hear me from all four corners of the house. And so my church growing up had youth camp that you could go to as soon as you turned 12, and camp was 4 hours away from home, and it was pretty much camping in the dust. And so I remember asking my mom if I could go, and so obviously my mom said no, and I just remember responding to her saying, "But mom, you're the one who says that God can heal you." And so obviously my mom didn't know what to say to that, and so she let me go. I remember being at camp, just having the best time and just praising God. It's when I got back home the next morning, my mom looked at me and she's like, "You're not sick anymore." And that's when it occurred to me that I hadn't sneezed all week long. I'm not sure where in the process God healed me. All I know is that I was obedient to God. I was giving him praise despite my situation. And God is a healer.
Come on. Good story. good stories. God is a healer. I loved how Calanthe was telling the story that she went to her mom and said, "Mom, haven't you said that God is a healer? Then why does Jesus heal?" Jesus has a purpose in healing. It's to show how great our Heavenly Father is. I love these moments when hearing stories of healing or watching healing. When I was a young kid, I was at a church, and we had a person that would come and speak often. He was a general in South Africa, and he loved the Lord. And so when he came to visit our church, man, there was this expectancy. There was this excitement in the air whenever he came, because there was going to be healings that day. I remember watching as he prayed over people, and people's limbs straightened, and people's legs grew, and people got up that couldn't get up and walk before. It was amazing. And every time it happened, it increased my view of who God is. This is why Jesus demonstrated himself. This is why Jesus went about healing the sick and proclaiming the good news and providing for people. Why? Because as these things happen, we get a bigger and bigger view of the Father. Jesus said that he came to only do the will of the Father. That's good news for you and me, because that means God's will is to heal. He's not only able, but he's willing. As I have learned to pray for those who are sick, I've learned that I've got to do my part and trust God that he's going to do his part. But what is our part in this healing business? What is our part in seeing the sick raised and the disease leaving? Our part is simply to pray. Our responsibility is to believe and pray. Just like the little boy that we heard last week had the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he put it into Jesus' hands and he multiplied it. Our prayers are like that. We trust God, we believe, we have faith, and we put that into God's hands. And then we get God-sized results. See, Jesus completed the work on the cross. And that was not just to get rid of our sins. It wasn't just to reconcile us to God, to make us a part of his family, to make us God's sons and his daughters. It is also to heal every disease, heal every brokenness of our bodies. I remember when I was 8 years old, and I had an opportunity for the first time to pray for somebody for healing. I was on a missions trip with our church in Southern California. We went down to San Joaquin Valley in Mexico, in the Baja Peninsula. If you were to ask and really evaluate the situation, I was probably a little too young to be going on the mission trip, but thanks, Dad, for letting me go anyway. But I remember this evening, we were in a small church, and there was times for prayer at the end of every message, and so people were praying down at the altar at the front of the auditorium, and they were praying, and me being 8 years old, I still don't know any Spanish. At that time, I had no idea how to speak Spanish, but I saw a man that was praying near the front of the auditorium on the right-hand side, and I felt prompted. You know, I had seen the guest speakers come to church and pray over people for healing. I had heard on TV of testimonies of people being healed, and so I felt prompted that I was supposed to go pray for this gentleman. And so I went up, and I laid my hands on him, and I just began to pray a simple 8-year-old prayer. This is what I love about God, is it doesn't take some years and years of studying prayer for God to answer us. Your simple prayer of faith, God hears, and he wants to answer. And so as I laid my hand on this gentleman's back, I began to pray for him. And I remember just a simple prayer of God, bless his family, help him to provide for his family. And then I felt a prompting to pray for his back. And so as I was laying my hands, I just prayed a small prayer. I said, God, would you heal his back and help him to be able to get back to work and provide for his family. In Jesus' name, amen. And I went. There wasn't some magical cloud of glory that came. There wasn't some earth-shattering light and thunder that went. And I didn't even know that my prayer even meant anything. Later that evening, I was in the hotel room with my dad. We were talking about the day's events and what God had done and all the fun things we did too. Because, of course, as a kid, it's really fun to be in Mexico on the beach. And it was amazing. But there was a knock on the door, and our interpreter came in. And she asked my father, hey, did Andy pray for somebody at the altar? And he didn't know. He asked me, Andy, did you pray? And I said, yeah, I prayed for this gentleman. And lo and behold, he had pulled his back. He was a migrant worker working in the fields at the time. And he had been out of work for 3 months due to a back injury. And that night, as this little 8-year-old boy prayed for his back, God healed him. He was pain-free. And he told the interpreter that he would be able to return to work tomorrow. See, God is awesome. And it doesn't matter how great our prayers are or how small our prayers are. When we pray and we call out to Jesus, he answers us. Your prayers are not insignificant. God wants to hear you. That Jesus invited us in on this mission to heal people and to set people free. You may or may not know, Jesus declared his mission was to set the captives free. And he gives that same mission to us, even encouraging us that greater things will we do in his name than what he did. Now, again, I was a Barney kid. I mean, my imagination is huge. I mean, if Jesus did great things, think about the things that Jesus did. He opened the eyes of the blind. He saw lame people get up and walk. He saw deaf people hear. He saw mute people begin to talk. He saw those with leprosy cleansed of leprosy. Jesus did great and exciting things. And he said, you can do even greater things in my name. Jesus taught us to pray this way. He taught us to pray for the kingdom of heaven to come to earth. Man, in heaven, there is no sickness, there is no disease, there is no pain, and there is no suffering. We're encouraged to pray that heaven come down for ourselves and for others. And at the end of this message today, we're going to have an opportunity to pray for healing. But I want to encourage you, God wants to hear your prayers too. And if you have pain, if you are suffering, call out to Jesus. He will answer you. I want to encourage you guys, even this week, I knew I was preparing to preach a message on healing. And you know what? I believe the enemy was aware of what the topic was too. And starting on Monday morning, I was having crazy back pain. All of a sudden, my knee that I had surgery on last fall started causing me pain. My left foot on my Achilles tendon was just shooting pain for 3 or 4 days in a row. And I'm not like out exercising right now. Nobody's out playing basketball. I'm not doing anything crazy. There's just all of a sudden crazy pains in my body. Even yesterday, I was in the church office and I was preparing for what I was going to say and trying to get work done. And I had this searing headache all day long. I had text messaged my wife, Pastor Rachel. I told her, hey, can you and Denver pray for me? Even my eyes and my vision was beginning to blur. And I just like, God, I know that you are able and willing to heal. So about 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Friday, Denver and Rachel, they prayed for me. And my headache lifted, guys. It was within 30 minutes that the headache that I had had since I woke up was gone. God loves to hear our prayer and he loves to answer. Because when God answers our prayer for healing, it will only produce an awe of who he is. That's what Jesus came to do, to demonstrate how great and how awesome our Heavenly Father is. I want to encourage you guys to listen to this next story of how Don needed healing. And he had a praying church that every time a need for healing came, he knew there was a praying church believing for his healing. Take a listen.
Romans 8:37 says, "In all things we are more than conquerors through him that loves us." And you know, Jesus loves us. He helps us conquer. And in my life, I've had to conquer many things. From the time I was born, clear up to I'm now 71 years old. But I know that God has been with me through healing of my body many times. When I was 2 years old, I had spinal meningitis with a 105 temperature for several days. But I had a church that was praying, and God came through for me. When I was 10 years old, I had a brain tumor that had my eyes bulging out of my head. And there in Wichita, where we lived, they said there was nothing they could do for me. And the doctor suggested we go to John Hopkins Hospital in Baltimore, Maryland. So my mom and dad took me up there. One afternoon, I saw 22 doctors, and they suggested they take me to the Mayo Clinic because they said the diagnosis would, the way the tumor was on my brain, I would either be a vegetable or I would die on the operating table. There was nothing else that they could do. So they took me over to Mayo Clinic there in Rochester from Baltimore. And one morning I saw 32 doctors because they'd never seen a brain tumor like I had, with my eyeballs hanging down on my cheeks. And there was a church praying. And they prayed hard. They prayed earnestly. And then I was to go up to see the surgeon at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. We got on the elevator to go up to the 8th floor. And God came through, a miraculous miracle, that my eyes went back into my head. And when I got in to see the surgeon, he said, "I can't find anything." I saw 32 doctors that afternoon because they couldn't believe that it was totally gone. There were only two that said that it could have been God. But there was a church praying, a church believing that God was going to heal a 10-year-old boy. And then in 1986, I had a massive stroke. Left me in the hospital, but there were churches that were praying, churches that were believing that God could conquer and heal. And God reached down and healed me. And then in 1993, I had another massive stroke, but there was churches that were praying. And that's the secret to everything. You got to have a church that's praying, like the Focus Church. You got to believe that you're more than a conqueror. And that's not all. God put two bones in my back because the church was praying. But I know one thing. When churches pray, God heals, God conquers, and God will make us well.
We believe that Jesus is not fake news, and that he still heals today. We are a praying church that believes Jesus heals. If you're watching today and you are in need of healing, we want to be your praying church. You're not alone. Man, Don couldn't even have believed what life would have been like if he hadn't experienced or hadn't had a praying church. Man, in this moment, whenever you are listening, whether it's Sunday morning or you're even later watching a replay of this gathering, I believe that God wants to touch your body and heal you completely. So if you're in need of prayer for healing this morning. If you're watching online, go ahead and like the pastor as he puts a message there saying, if you need healing, like this comment. But if you need healing in this moment, nod your head in acknowledgement of your need. Just like blind Bartimaeus called out to Jesus, and Ryan, he called out to Jesus for healing. In this moment, go ahead, acknowledge it to God. And I'm going to pray. And I believe that God wants to do a miracle in your life. Let's pray right now. Jesus, I thank you that you encourage us, you invite us to call on your name. And you said that if we call on your name, you will do anything that we ask. And so right now, God, I ask that you would bring a healing power, a healing to everybody in the name of Jesus. Father, from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, God, that you would heal every disease, every sickness, every pain, every muscle that has been torn, every bone that is out of place, every word of the doctor that has brought a wrong or a hard diagnosis. God, I pray right now, bring healing in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. And I believe that God is doing something right now. I would encourage you to let us know, how has God healed you today? You know, at the beginning of our message, I said that if you came looking for hope or peace or for purpose in your life, that you would have an opportunity today to respond to Jesus. Well, right now is your moment. If you desire to have these things in your life, it begins with one first step. It begins with giving control of your life to Jesus. See, the Bible teaches that if we believe in our heart that Jesus is who he says that he is, and we make a choice to live for him, we will receive all that he has for us. We'll be forgiven of our sins. We will have peace that passes all understanding. We will have a purpose to live for. We will have hope. But first, we must make the decision to follow after him. That God loves you and me so much that he was willing to send his son Jesus to provide for our greatest need. That our sins, all the ways that we have been wrong in our life, would be forgiven, would be washed away. The Bible teaches us that Jesus, he doesn't stand to condemn us. And this morning, I want you to hear that message. God does not stand ready to condemn you, ready to hang a heavy fist over you. No, he stands ready to embrace you with love, ready to bring you hope, ready to heal you in all the ways that you have found yourself looking and searching for hope. Jesus wants to bring that to you now. If you're ready to receive this love, this forgiveness, this hope, let's take a moment to talk to God together, because no one prays alone at Focus Church. So if you would, as I pray this prayer, repeat after me, and everybody's going to do this together. Wherever you are in your living room, wherever you are watching, we're going to pray together and commit our life to Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I believe you are who you say you are. Forgive me for all of my wrongdoing. Help me to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen.